Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. TNA has launched the Wrestling Matters campaign. Is this just because the WWE is now known as superstars, not wrestlers?
Yes, this is why. Because WWE took the wrestling out of their program and it's more of a scripted soap opera. And TNA, they really wanted to be an alternative and not seen as a direct competitor. I would almost equate this in a way to think about video games. You know, like Nintendo and their Wii is more casual. And so, like, you have a system like the Xbox 360, which is more for the hardcore gamer. And it's almost kind of like that, where TNA is wrestling. You know, this is where you go for wrestling, for great wrestling and great storylines and everything. And WWE is kind of very different. You know, it's more scripted. It's, you don't get as much leeway, and it's not really great wrestling over there either.
Yeah, I actually find it funny that they did this. I mean, it's finally someone said something, and I know what the WWE is trying to do, but come on. You're still a wrestler. I mean, it's funny because I still hear people refer to them as WWE wrestlers, not WWE superstars. I think that's going to take a long time before that catches on. And we're talking years. But
they're
still
known as the WWF to some people.
Yes, you know? Some people still call them the WWF. So let's move on. The WWE wrestlers are now required to buy medical insurance. This is breaking news. What's going on with this?
So they want to make it where you have to get medical insurance, and because they're contractors, WWE doesn't have to provide it. However, though, on the plus side, this is considered a business expense, so they get to deduct it, which is kind of nice. So even it's one of those kind of like, I don't want to say double-edged swords, but it's kind of like a catch-22. Like, you're required to get it, but you do get it discounted. However, though, WWE is not going to help you out. So, you know,
I'm wondering how much their medical insurance will cost. And why they're forcing this now. Because, I thought, you know, in a way, I think this is a great idea, but I also think it's kind of weird that they would do something like this. I'm assuming that there's been some lawsuits out there recently, is the only thing I can think of. But it's kind of nice that, all the wrestlers are going to have medical insurance. But the thing is, how much is it going to cost? Because I know what it costs for a small business, and I can only imagine what a wrestler would cost. It's probably quadruple that, if not more. And you're talking, some guys, probably 20% of their salary goes to medical insurance. Of course, you know, look at someone like Shane Helms, who is going to have hundreds of thousands of dollars for medical bills. And if he had medical, you know, health insurance, it'd be a different story. So, Trips, he's returning to Money in the Bank. I guess he's coming back to the Money in the Bank pay per view. But I'm what capacity is he going to come in as the Raw GM? Which I think that's who he is now. I'm just wondering what the whole point of it is. Why are they announcing that he's coming there, or is it just a mess up? You know, but I don't know. What do you think?
It could be a mess up. It could be a mess up. However, though, Key Arena actually showed what the Raw main event was before Raw even announced it. So watching Raw last week, it was like, oh, I know who's going to win the number one contenders match, and I know what the match is going to be. So this could be one of those things where Triple H will be there in some capacity. My question is this, though. Why, realistically, why should he go to Raw? Do they need help at Raw? No. Where do they need help? They need help badly on SmackDown. If he went to SmackDown, he could help elevate some people up there like Christian or Daniel Bryan. He could help them out. He could help elevate some of the heels to become even better heels. He could do a whole lot by going to SmackDown. So if he goes to Raw, which we all are predicting that he's going to, I think that this will be actually a missed spot for WWE.
Big time, yeah. And also, he needs to put someone over. That's the one thing that made Ric Flair so great, is he kept putting people over. And not many people really talked about the fact that he lost matches. It's just that he had great matches, and that's all they talked about. So if he wants to go ahead and come back and start wrestling, that's fine, but he needs to put some people over. He doesn't need to be world champion again. That's just an ego thing. All right, let's move on to Sacrifice. Brian Kendrick gets a big win over Robbie E. What is the deal with Brian Kendrick sitting down meditating throughout the entire match? Is that something new?
No, he's done that for a while, but the only reason I even put this in the rundown is that Brian Kendrick, he deserved this, in my opinion. He really did. He's put his dues in. I think he's a very tremendous wrestler, you know, for being a small guy. And so I'm happy with this. Mm-hmm. Now, the next thing that we have here to talk about is that Beer Money, they beat Matt Hardy and Chris Harris. So this was something, you know, unfortunately, this was rushed. You know, this was really rushed. I mean, they put this, you know, really a couple days before the pay-per-view,
mm-hmm.
which this is something that they should have built up over 2 or 3 weeks. But what did you think of it?
It was all right. I guess it's hard for me to explain certain things. Matt Hardy just put in this match just to be in the match. That's the only reason he was in it. And he's going to move on to something else.
Yeah.
And, I guess it's okay. I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of the match. Didn't care for it. I thought the women's match was better. That's saying something. But anyway, so Chavo Dreamer gets a big win over AJ Styles, which is a very, very big shocker to me. I didn't think that Dreamer was going to win, but he did.
I kind of like this, too. I mean, it didn't matter who won, because it's not like they'd be elevated that much. So having Dreamer win, I mean, it was nice for him to get a big win like that. Because AJ Styles, I mean, he will be a legend. You know, he will be. So it was nice to see him put over Dreamer. Now, Angle, he finally got a win over Jeff. Double J.
Yeah, over Double J, finally. Couldn't believe it. Double J and Karen. And I thought it was kind of neat that China came in and gave Karen the pedigree, which I thought was kind of funny. I'm surprised they didn't talk about the IC belt incident, which would have been funnier, but whatever.
Well, the thing that I thought was funny was Mike Tenay's commentary saying that China dropped Double J with a DDT style move. Double underhook face drop. I mean, you call it that, you know, double underhook face buster or something. DDT style move? Really? Really? You think that's a DDT style move?
Are you serious, bro? It's not a DDT, because a DDT is you're supposed to have him in a headlock.
Yeah.
And then you force him down. So Sting retains the title against RVD in I thought a boring match. I was really bored. I was a little too.
I thought that this match, the build up to it was pretty decent. And I thought that this would be a really big match, and it was kind of okay. But I don't know. I think that they're almost doing this stuff in reverse. I mean, at Sacrifice, Ken Anderson, he was there to watch the match and everything since he was number one contender. And I like that. I really like that. But Sting took on RVD, and Sting retained. Sting's going to take on Anderson at the next pay-per-view. And two pay-per-views ago, they did a three-way match. You're doing this stuff in reverse. Like, that's not the way you do it, you know? But that's my own little gripe with it.
It's basically you asking, like, who booked this crap?
Yeah.
You want to hold that sign up.
It wasn't that bad, but it just makes you go, huh? Now let's move on to Raw, where we saw Punk beat Kofi in I thought a really good match.
Really good match, and... Is CM Punk staying?
I'll tell you what. Like, this match came on, I'm like, Kofi's winning.
Exactly. That's what I thought.
Kofi's going to win.
Yeah, wow. I'm like, wow, Kofi's getting... I thought that the next were going to break up, because I just thought, well, Kofi's definitely going to win this, because why are they going to have CM Punk win a match?
Yeah. But Punk, then, after he wins the match, he says that the Nexus are going to be the most dominant force in the WWE. And he said he's going to personally make sure. And, you know, we saw, couple members of Nexus get wins over Big Show and Kane, which were very surprised. So, I don't know. I mean, do you think that Nexus even matters anymore?
See, the thing is, I thought it was okay until Mason Ryan got knocked down. Big Show was a big monster, and then he gets his butt kicked. He should have been standing up the entire time. That's crap.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's... Whatever. If that's where they want to go, that's fine. But I did not like that at all. I thought that was really ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. Didn't need to be done. Mason Wright should be standing up the entire time and standing over them. But, you know, whatever. Great. You know, it's good to see good old Mr. Perfect's son in the ring, of course. So, what? It is his son, dude. It's, he came back. You got to see Dave Otunga. Gosh, Mason Ryan. It was nice to see all those guys back together. I was waiting for Heath Slater to come out, but then I was like, oh, wrong show. So, anyway. So the rest of the night,
they were teasing who Miz was going to pick to take on Cena.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, Miz picks Swagger to wrestle Cena. Of course, he gets the crap kicked out of him. But I have a question for you. Like, this match, it wasn't a bad match by any means. After Cena retains at Over the Limit, which I actually have something I would like to throw out there for this, but would you like to see Swagger move up to the main event and actually wrestle Cena?
Yeah, I would, actually. I think that he could be a good tweener, or because they were teasing him a face turn. And then later on he comes out, then he has to fight Cena. So then the face turn is no more. Why even bother? Why even bother having him doing that? That's stupid.
Eh, I don't know with that. But I actually came up with a brilliant idea. Okay. And if it's booked this way, all right, you heard it here first. What they need to do for the Miz-Cena match, whoever says I quit in this match is going to get pushed down. Cena will look really bad, and then the kids aren't going to like him anymore. You'd basically have to turn him heel if he said I quit. If Miz says I quit, Miz then gets de-pushed to being an upper mid-card, and he's probably going to feud with R-Truth. Or I'm sorry, not R-Truth, but with John Morrison. Or Kofi Kingston. I don't know. Somebody like that. So how about this? Why not use something they did at a WrestleMania when Bret Hart put Stone Cold Steve Austin in the sharpshooter and Stone Cold passed out, and so Stone Cold lost. But he actually looked better for losing that match. You could do the same thing and make Miz basically pass out from the STF, and then the Miz doesn't look bad, and he could stay in the main event spotlight.
Correct.
That's how I would book that.
Or you can almost do something where Cena gets his butt kicked by Swagger to get revenge or something like that on him. Well, actually, no. Actually, that's still not good. You're better off definitely having the Miz pass out during the STF. And you can also put what's-his-face in it as well, A-Rai. And, yeah. Yeah, definitely, dude. That's a good... Actually, what you're saying is a great idea, because that's right. Stone Cold did not lose anything. He actually looked the same afterwards. No one cared.
He looked better. He looked better afterwards. The blood rushing down his face, you know, yeah. And then passing out from the pain. It looked amazing. And after that, Stone Cold became a household.
That's right. Because that's right about when 316 started.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. So anyways, Raw, actually, besides that, Raw was kind of boring this week, dude.
Raw sucked.
Like, Karma came out, did her thing.
Don't care. Raw was horrible. Honestly, their talent is so thin right now on Raw and on SmackDown, I would be in favor of a merger. I really would. But that's just me.
I understand. We have to congratulate someone, by the way, getting signed finally. An ECW original got signed. And who was that? Nunzio. To a referee contract. Yes, to a referee contract. Because the other night I saw him and I was like, is that Nunzio? The first thing. And yeah, it was him on Raw. So anyway, let's move on to SmackDown. Ted DiBiase gets his first win of the decade. First win.
Pretty much of the decade.
Congratulations.
Yeah, this is major news. Major news. And it looks like him and Cody Rhodes might be coming back together as a team. I would be in favor of that.
Mm-hmm. I love the paperback still. That's like a genius idea.
So this next thing, really nothing else happened over there except for Christian beats Sheamus by DQ when Mark Henry interfered and Orton came in to make the save. This happened at the very beginning of the night, and then at the end of the night, Orton beat Henry when Sheamus interfered, and Christian came out, but he made the late save to put a little heat on him, you know? And then Christian and Orton, I guess this was the dark match, They actually fought to a no contest.
Oh.
So here's my question for you. What do you think of the top tier over on SmackDown?
First of all, who booked this crap? Seriously, you booked a crappy SmackDown. I could have booked a better one leading up to the pay-per-view. I could have led something where they should have been teasing more and more on SmackDown the fact that Sin Cara and Chavo Guerrero might be wrestling each other. Because technically what they did was bring Daniel Bryan in and having him face Chavo and then have Sin Cara come in and take out Chavo. They can set up a three-way dance technically if they want to. If Daniel Bryan, they wanted him to get involved. So they could set up a three-way or just have the match between Sin Cara and Chavo.
Well, why? Why would you do something like this? Like, let's say you are you're of Mexican descent and you know who Sin Cara or Mystico is, right? You know who Mystico is. And you're like, man, like, there's a really good pay-per-view. They actually have some really good matches. I'd like to get it, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's, you know, who's this Cena and, you know, who's R-Truth, you know, and Rey Mysterio. Like, maybe Rey I'd get it for. But why not let people know that this match is going to take place a week before it happens? Why why do it? And they haven't even announced this is a match yet, okay?
No.
They haven't even announced that. They're probably going to announce this during the pay-per-view a minute before it happens. And let me tell you something. This boils my blood to no end to have a pay-per-view set 3 weeks in advance, 4 weeks later, and not know what the match is or the main event's going to be. This pisses me off. And TNA, some that they do correct, at least we know Ken Anderson versus Sting was going to take place the moment Sting won the match. We knew that. So we know what the main event is, and we know what a few of the other matches are going to be. That's good. That's good booking, in my opinion. That way I can decide whether or not I want to get it. More than likely, I'm not going to get it. But still, I get a choice in the matter, all right?
Exactly. I completely understand. You know what you should do with all your rants, though? You should definitely get a blog over at HostGator. Are you a blogger, podcaster, not happy with your web host? Check out HostGator.com. We're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space, bandwidth, and one-click script installs with a free site builder with an easy control panel. Stop by today and check out a free demo. And when you use the coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. TNA, or should we call it Impact Wrestling?
You know what? You are correct. I need to change this because we have a format we do.
Impact Wrestling is what it's called now. So change that. Type. And Abyss beats Kaz for the X title. What? How can he beat him for the X title?
This is so stupid.
Don't they have... isn't it supposed to be 225 and lower?
No, it's not about weight limits. It's about no limits, all right? Get it right. But here's the thing. Abyss is not an X division wrestler. Samoa Joe is, which is fine. But Abyss isn't. I mean, come on. Why have him take the title? I mean, you have Destination X coming up soon, and you're going to have to take that title off of Abyss. Abyss does not deserve to have that title. He really doesn't. So I think it's kind of stupid to do this.
Completely ridiculous. I mean,
give him the TV title, you know? Get the TV title sucks. Give him the TV title.
How many titles do they have now?
They have the the TNA title, then you have the X title, the TV title, and then you have the women's tag, and you have the tag team. And then you have the women's tag team, and then you have the women's title. So you have six titles.
Too many titles. Completely.
Get rid of the women's tag team. You know,
definitely.
You don't need that. But definitely. That's beside the point.
Anyway, so Samoa Joe versus Crimson is being set up, which is nice. So what do you think of him?
I don't know. Crimson looks like he could be good, but I think that they're pushing him too fast, almost. I don't think that he's going to be somebody that he's not going to be the marquee guy. He's somebody that you can slowly build up. I mean, Matt Morgan, I mean, he got put into the main event, and then he kind of got pushed back down a little and he's stuck in, like, the upper mid card, and that's fine with me. So when he actually explodes, it'll be pretty big deal. I think Crimson, I would rather see him go up, gradually, as opposed to this dramatic beat Abyss and then beat Samoa Joe type deal. What do you think?
I'm not a big fan of him. I think that him facing Samoa Joe is not the first step you should have him do. You need to create a monster first. Have him fight some cruiserweights and beat the crap out of him. Have him sell. Get him over a little bit in a way, and then start doing this stuff. I think it's a little too early.
I agree.
So, anyway, so AJ versus Dreamer is being turned into Christopher Daniels versus Dreamer.
So, I actually kind of like the way they're doing this because it was AJ versus Bubba Ray. Then Dreamer got involved, and so it's AJ versus Dreamer, and then Christopher Daniels gets involved, so it's AJ versus Bubba Ray, or Bully Ray, again, and then now Daniels is going to take on Dreamer. And the cool thing about this is that you can set up things like tag teams, you know, you can do four-way, I guess you wouldn't do a four-way because that'd just be stupid, but you could do tag team, which is nice. You can actually do quite a few tag teams. And the other thing, too, is you can do Daniels versus Bully, and you can do AJ versus Dreamer on TV since you already, you know, paid for it for the pay-per-view. So I actually think it's a really good thing. I think this is one of the feuds that I am most excited about. Mm-hmm. What about you?
No, it's going to be a great match. I think Christopher Daniels can adapt to any wrestling style. And Tommy Dreamer, he's a little bit older now, but he still can wrestle. It's still in his blood and, you know, good to him. Good for him staying there. But I think it's going to be great. Christopher Daniels versus Dreamer. I think it's just a win-win all the way over.
I agree. And, one of the things I am actually kind of happy about, we talked about earlier with Kurt and Jeff Jarrett, it's going to be continuing for one more month. I know that we're kind of sick of it, but it's going to continue for one more month. And it's a number one contenders match at the pay-per-view. So guess what, Andy?
What's that?
You want to know about smart booking?
Okay, let's hear it.
Anderson was going to face the champion at the following pay-per-view. And so Anderson's going to face him now, right? Going to face Sting. Now then, whoever wins that match is going to take on whoever wins Kurt versus Jeff Jarrett at the next pay-per-view. So they're doing this setup, which makes you excited and actually want to buy the pay-per-view. So you know what the main event is going to be.
Yeah, you know at that pay-per-view what the next main event is going to be at the next one. Pretty much. I mean, they're not going to change the Impact title now just because.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's exciting though. That actually is, that's good booking in my opinion.
Yeah, and you can do it for, I mean, you do it for a little bit, then you go back to the old format. But I mean, I think that's the best way of doing it. But I think that whoever wins between Kurt and Jeff Jarrett, I think that's the last one they're going to do for a little bit, because you don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over again, because it'll get really annoying. I think just for now they're going to do this, and it's going to be great. It seriously will be great.
I agree. And the nice thing here is, too, the last thing I'll say is if Sting retains, and like let's say Kurt Angle wins, you're then going to have the ability to do a three-way with Angle, Anderson, and Sting. You're going to have that ability. So that they're actually kind of doing some good booking here, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. So it's some great booking. So let's move on to our weekly segment now. Oh, wait, we're not going to do one now. We're actually going to do something new. We're going to do a wrestling profile on a WWE superstar, and the first one's going to be on none other than the number one internet sensation right now, which is Zack Ryder. What do you think of him so far, Aaron?
I must say, before I watched any of his stuff, I was not a fan. I was like, you know, he's a throwaway character, and I thought that you could just get rid of him. I hated his outfit, the one leg like that was open. You know, he had the pants, but one leg. I was like, that's so stupid. Like, that doesn't look cool. But one of the things in particular with him, I mean, he started off as Edge's lackey with Curt Hawkins. You know, he had a little bit longer hair then. And then, you know, he cut it and spiked it. And so that, of course, goes to his trademark phrase, which is,
take care, spike your hair. Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
Something that he did is he went to the internet to gain publicity. So he went there and created YouTube videos. He made a Facebook fan page. You know, he has his Twitter. Mm-hmm. And he is incredibly popular. His t-shirt sells out all the time. Zack Ryder, okay? Zack freaking Ryder's t-shirt sells out. And how often is he on Raw? He's on Raw for 5 seconds every single week.
He fist pumps with John Cena. Or they'll watch his YouTube channel, everyone, while John Cena is walking by, which is hilarious, by the way. I just think that's hilarious. The funny thing is, first thing I saw him is a show where he's like, it was around WrestleMania weekend, and he's like, and apparently no one got the word that I was signing autographs, and it was just him with no one around whatsoever, which I thought was hilarious. And then he said, this is the WWE. This is the, or he's like, this is a boat. This is the WWE. This is the WWE missing the boat, which I thought was hilarious. And his videos are genius. I want to know who actually writes them, because if it's just, because I think it's him and Kurt Hawkins that do it because they ride together. I'm not 100% positive on that though, but whoever's doing it with them is genius, because everything they're doing just is hilarious. Last week's episode was funny. There was a joke that took me a week to figure out, by the way. And you're laughing about it already. And it was, see, guy, he's sitting there, he's drawing with crayons. He goes, see, I draw money. Took me a while. He draws money, because all he did was draw a bill with a dollar sign on it. And I was like,
now, one of the things, though, I wanted to ask you, though, so he is able to get people to hold signs up because he has a broski of the week. Mm-hmm. So people are holding up signs on Raw that he is on for 5 seconds, and you see tons of broski of the weeks. You see tons of, take care, spike your hair. You see tons of I paid to see Zack Ryder. You see probably the same amount of Zack Ryder signs as you see John Cena signs.
Because the thing is, and this is why it's genius that he did this, because they know that that there's a chance they may get on a show. So that's why, because if you looked at Raw, at the opening of Raw, I saw nothing but Zack Ryder. Every time they took a shot, it was all Zack Ryder stuff. And I know for a fact they zoomed in on a couple of them that were close to it, just so it would say Cena instead of Ryder. Like, there was the Ryder is Raw, of course, the Broski of the Week. They have YKI?
And woo, woo. You know it.
Yeah, and you see those signs everywhere. And what he's done is genius. Just freaking genius. And I got to give him credit. Got to give him lots of credit. So, but anyway, so Aaron, what do you think about the show? I mean, did you like the thing where he was climbing the fence? They're like, what are you doing, Zach? What are you doing, Zach? He's like, I'm trying to get over.
I'll tell you what. I actually have a better appreciation for Zack Ryder now. I think that he has just done a tremendous job marketing himself. And you know, one of the things that you and I talked about before is, if for whatever reason, let's say they fire him, he is still the internet champion because he has a belt that has a Twitter and a Facebook logo and YouTube, and he's the internet champion.
Mm-hmm.
He can still do his show, and he can promote himself. And, you know, where would he probably go? Logically, he'd go to a TNA or a Ring of Honor, and he could go there. And, yeah, you know, he'd probably have to change his name. You know, maybe he could finagle a way to Zack Ryder spelled with an I. He might be able to do that. I don't know. But since that's not his real name, of course. But the thing is, he could really, like, make himself a superstar somewhere else. I mean, he really could. I actually hope that they show him on Raw more. I hope that when they get rid of the Cole Lawler feud, I hope that they fill that segment. Like, let him wrestle somebody, you know? Like, let him get his butt kicked by somebody. You know, it's not hard to do.
One thing I'm going to actually say, and I'm predicting it now, he's going to have a show on Raw or Superstars. He will have his own show and do it that way. I just know they're going to do it that way because it's perfect. He can come out there, do his show, and the thing is, and this is where I think it'll be genius, he'll bring a broski of the week into the ring. So that means you're going to see more signs everywhere because everyone wants to get in a WWE ring. What's the easiest way to do it? Hey, I'm going to hold up a broski of the week or broski of the millennium or the broski period or anything like that. That's what
I don't know if they would do something like that, but I think him hosting his own show, having him have guests on there, you know, you can set up segments. The thing is, an easy way to put him over, set up a segment where he is holding an interview with Cena and Miz. And then Cena says something, and Zack Ryder goes, are you serious, bro? That is genius. And then you elevate him. You elevate him higher.
And then, Miz
and then he could
really
have a feud with Drew McIntyre, who can't wrestle, and has the amount of personality he has is amazing, let me tell you what. And you could let him have feuds with those people, and he can be, I don't want to say a joke character, but he can be the comedy character, like a Santina, mm-hmm. You know? But he can wrestle fairly well.
Yeah. It's just great. I'm just looking forward to this week's show, which should be coming out today, actually. So it'll be awesome. So it'll, you know, because they actually, it'll probably come out, and then by the time you're listening to this show, it'll have already been out, actually, now I think about it. So, because he usually puts it out early in the morning. So anyways, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I am AHughes86. Aaron is AP Hughes. I want to thank Section 86 and 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank my co-hosts for coming on each and every week. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.